Just want to continue what we've been looking at over the past couple of months. And I've been asked to speak from chapter 7, and it's talking about effective prayer. But I want to just take a little bit out of the previous chapter, because I think I'm just allow me a little bit of freedom here this morning, okay? Because in the previous chapter it says, your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. That's from the NLT. And then he says here, keep on asking and you will be given what you ask for. Wow. That's the biggest mistake we all made, is when we taught our kids to ask for stuff. All right, keep on asking. And he says, keep on looking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And the door is open to everyone who knocks. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Dare I ask Caitlin and Joel? Do you give them everything they ask for?
No.
Sometimes you tell them to wait. Well, it's not good for you. Well, just hold on to that as we're going through here this morning, all right? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. Therefore, if sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Effective prayer. That's the title in the NLT. And as we look, this is Jesus speaking to the crowds as well as to his followers who are part of that crowd. Okay? And is seeking to show them that it is vital, especially for his followers, that they know the importance of having a close relationship with God through prayer. Verse 7 of Matthew chapter 7 is written, and here is a mouthful, and if any of you can describe this to me, I would appreciate it. It is written in what they call the present continuous imperative tense. How's that? Try saying that in a hurry. Well, if you actually study it, it's very simple. It just says, keep on doing it. That's really what it's saying. Just keep on doing it. Keep on, keep on, keep on asking, seeking, and knocking. And if you take the word ask, you've got the first 3 points of my sermon. Ask, seek, knock. Simple. Every preacher's ideal. It's continuous. It's not a one-off thing. It's something we should be doing all the time. And looking loud, you lovely spiritual people, I think I'm speaking to those that should know better. Am I right? Well, I quite haven't got quite it sussed yet. It is because in doing this all the time that we grow in the depth and in our relationship with God. And that is vital to our existence and what we do for God. Prayer is the gift from God to us, because it helps us develop in our walk with him. Yeah. We know prayer changes things. It changes situations. It changes people. And dare I say, especially to him or her who's doing the praying. Amen? It's got to change us. It brings us into the place of intimacy with God. Because up until the first century, God's people were always taught to pray to the Almost High God, God the Almighty, those great titles which belong to God, and rightly so. But what Jesus is doing here is he's showing us that though God is all of that and much more, he wants us to realize that God is our Heavenly Father, and that we have access into his presence in a very, very unique way. He's a lovingly Heavenly Father who loves to hear, believe it or not, our voices in prayer, in praise, and in worship. So my first point is very simple this morning of ask, is be persistent. I was going to be naughty, but I better not, because there's too many lovely ladies here this morning. But it's keeping asking for something you want. But it comes first and foremost from what we read at the very beginning. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then these things will be added unto you. So it comes from that heart relationship, from seeking God first and seeking to be in his presence that we've heard about this morning, seeking to be where he wants us to be. And when we get into there, then we begin to know and feel the heart of God and hopefully ask according to what's best, not only for us, but for what God wants in our lives. So daily, we live in a culture nowadays where everybody's taught to ask questions. And rightly so, they ask for information. Every time many of us are trying to find something, where do we go to? Our phones, we go onto Google, we go onto whatever, and we ask questions. What about this? What about that? What about the next thing? We're seeking to find information all the time. Well, I want to say this morning lovingly, perhaps if we spent more time asking God than Google, we might find out more of what God wants for our lives. We might find the help that we need, the assistance we need to live the kind of life God wants us to live. And we might just find a provision that only comes from God, which is far better for all of us. God wants us to come to him as a loving father. Tell him what's going on in our life. Ask for his help. He wants us, dare I say it, to have a heart-to-heart with us. You know, in our marriage relationship, whenever I hear the words of Flora saying, John, we need to talk, I know exactly what she means. And if I don't, better not use that word. If I don't respond to that in a positive manner, I'm in trouble, right? And we all know that. I'm not the only one that experiences that here. We're all in that same situation. But in that time of conversation, there's two things I need to do. Not just talk, but I need to listen to what she's saying. You know, we often say that men have this idea of they hear, but they're not listening. Is that right, ladies? Come on now, ladies, be honest. It's true. And God wants us to have a heart-to-heart, to spend time listening, as Martin said earlier, and I think Joel said last week, hear what God's got to say to you and bring it next week. I think you said that just before we left last Sunday. And it's listening to what God has to say, how he wants to handle our situations, and then work from that and see what he's got. And I'm put it down here, quick prayers are good in emergency situations. Not a problem with that at all. But just as we can't grow on a diet of energy bars, we can't grow in a relationship with God with spot-on short prayers all the time. We've got to get to know his heartbeat and go from there by spending, getting to know God, asking God for what his plans, what his desires are. The second one is seek. Well, many of you remember as kids, if you do, hide and seek. And we've all played it. Is it just me? Yeah. And the trouble was in hide and seek, if somebody got to the den back before he was in the den, it was gone, they had to start all over again and you stayed in the den. God doesn't want it that way. God wants us to seek his presence and his face, to seek something from him. To seek to achieve, that's what the word seek means in the Oxford Dictionary. To seek to find something, to seek to achieve something, to desire or want something strongly. And I'm sure, I don't care what our age is, we have still got desires or things that we want to achieve in our lives, haven't we? I hope we have. I am very fortunate at the moment that I have this weird thing. I love driving. And I have had a desire to drive some amazing cars, and I've got the privilege over the past 6 years. Only this week, I was driving one of the brand new Mustang cars Vroom, you want to hear the racket of that thing there. It was absolutely, and I only got to drive it from Swansea back to the yard. But I tell you, I love that wee job. Because some of the cars I get to drive, it's something I have always desired to drive some of these cars. I'll never be able to possess them, but at least I get to drive them at somebody else's expense. And you know, folks, you know, I'm only in my early 50s, you know, to be honest. But I still have strong desires in my heart. I still want to see God moving in this land of Wales. I still want to see the churches growing and developing. I want to see Christians developing in their lives and their walk with God. And that comes through prayer and waiting on God. And we need to nourish those ambitions. God wants to nourish those kind of ambitions. So that the things that we achieve are what He wants in our lives. And we've got to find out what they are and make sure that He's placed them in our heart. Because if He hasn't placed them there, dare I say it, He can't really bless them. But if He's placed them there and we are praying and seeking to achieve according to that, we are going to see God do great things in our lives, in our families, in the community that we live. And that's what I hope that's your heart's desire, is to see Wales change for God again. I long to see these buildings being filled with people again that were years ago filled with the touch of God. He's got a plan. He's got a goal. Let's make sure that our plan and our goals fit in with His. Sometimes we lose our way as Christians. We confuse some of our desires and take a wrong turning. Well, there's always a way back. I did that a few weeks ago because I decided at the end of May that I would retire for the second time from Harry Phillips' job. And I made the big mistake in my last words of saying to them, if you have an urgent emergency, I will help you out. Well, I had my 3 weeks holiday, I had a week's retirement, and I was called back into work. Sadly, because of a guy who's had a stroke, and in actual fact, he's had 3 or 4 strokes. And he's now paralyzed down his right-hand side. But my lovely wife heard somebody say to her, well, perhaps it wasn't God's time for John to retire just yet. Maybe so. But it's an awful way to go back to doing something like that, God's plan. Let's make it easier for God. We need to know His forgiveness, His redirection in our lives. And I'm still asking for that. The Life Application Bible puts it like this. Jesus tells us to persist in suing God. People often give up after a few half-hearted efforts and conclude that God's either not listening or He can't be found. But knowing God takes, and I think 3 words that if you anybody are following, faith, focus, and follow through. I like that. I found it in a book, okay? Faith, focus, and follow through. And Jesus assures us that we will be rewarded if we take those 3 principles on board. Don't give up in your efforts to seek God. Continue to follow Him. Continue to seek after Him. Ask for more knowledge, patience, wisdom, love, and understanding. And I tell you, I need all of them. And He will ultimately give us them. It's how He gives us sometimes those things that can be our problem. God delights in us spending time with Him. And we, perhaps, and I need more than ever to be spending more time. And He will walk with us and He'll talk with us and He'll show us the way. Thirdly, knock. Jesus tells His disciples, keep on knocking. His followers, that they are to keep on knocking at heaven's door. Keep on pushing into God, into the presence of God, into the presence of the Lord Jesus, into the presence of the Holy Spirit. We mustn't forget the other 2 parts of the Holy of God. Pushing into Him. And you know, the lovely thing is, my God, your God, our God is not reluctant to open up doors for us. He does close some, but He's never reluctant to open them up. Amen. He wants us to be relentless in seeking to know His heart, to catch His vision for our lives, for our communities. The world in which we live in, it is a beautiful world. It's mankind that sort of wrecked it slightly, haven't we? But He's given us it to live in. And we have a responsibility to seek his face, to see what he wants us to do in it. He wants us to come to the place where we realize that he will always provide for us. He will hold us close. He will keep us safe. He will understand the concerns and the worries of our lives. He wants us to know that not only has he got the answers, but he is the answer. For prayer is the gift that God has given to us. And if ever you have been given a good gift, you don't pack it away and leave it there, do you? You'll open it up and you will use it, hopefully to its full extent. Let's do the same with prayer. And I've got conclusion here, but there's 7 points to the conclusion, so you're here for a wee while yet. But they're very quick points. Why do we pray? Why? Firstly, I hope it's because we love God. We want to talk to him, and we want to listen to him. If we love God, we will desire to be in his presence and have fellowship with him. Two, we pray because we depend on God. He is the source of our life. He's the source of all life. But ultimately, because we know him, we love him, he is the source of our lives. And if we spend time in his presence, he will give us what we need for that. We pray in order to resist temptation. Jesus says that to his disciples in Matthew 26, verse 41. He prays it, he says it in the Lord's Prayer as well. Four, we pray because God commands us to pray in Colossians 4, 2, Luke 18, 1. And it is vital to all that he wants to do on earth. And beloved, it's essential to us to find out what he wants to do. Five, we pray because Jesus is our supreme example of what prayer is all about. He was always in perfect communion with his Father. He always knew what the Father wanted. He was always saying and doing only what Father was saying and doing. Oh, here comes the tough bit. He prayed sometimes all night. Ooh. Sometimes he actually got up early in the morning as well. Now, I know there are some people can't sleep during the night here. I'm one of them. I got to be honest, I struggle to get up and pray. But perhaps at those times we should. I certainly pray when I'm in bed trying to get to sleep. You know, you don't need to count sheep if you're trying to get sleep at night. You start praying and it'll not be long until you're sleeping. Not that I would advise that, okay? In times of crisis and temptation, Matthew 26, verses 36, 39, 42. Therefore, if the Son of God needed to pray, how much more do you and I need to spend time in prayer? And I know I'm speaking to the converted, but perhaps just a wee bit more, God needs to challenge us here. We pray because God hears and answers prayer. Matthew 7, 7. The things we need, the scripture says, he already knows. But there are only things that God can do. And if we don't ask him, he might not just do them for us. In serving God, many things are outside of our power, our resources. And it's at those times we need to be saying, God, I need you in that situation. I need you to give me the wisdom, the understanding, the direction. And that can only come from God. And folks, it's not just sitting there, just praying and then walking away. We got to sit there and wait and listen to what Father's got to say. Because I tell you what, if I don't sit and listen to what my wife's got to say, you ladies should all be going, yay! But it's true. And dare I say it, it's the same vice versa. If God doesn't do it, then perhaps they won't happen, both in the spiritual and the natural. But God wants to answer prayer, and he will make the difference. Seventh, and if you know the number seven in the Bible, it's a perfect word, isn't it? So this is the perfect end. It's not quite the end to the sermon, but it's the seventh point. And I think this one just blows my mind. We pray that our joy... You know that thing that Christians should manifest to the world? Ooh. When I first got saved and went to the Motherwell Elam Church, there was an old chorus that says, "Joy, joy, my heart is full of joy, right down deep in my heart." Well, it's a shame it stays there sometimes. All right? But John chapter 16, verse 24, it says this, Jesus, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." And in NLT it goes like this, "I tell you the truth, you will ask the Father directly and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before, therefore ask using my name and you will receive, and you will not only have joy, but you will have abundant joy." Amen. I tell you what, folks, in this crazy world in which we live in at the moment, people need to see that Christians have the joy of the Lord in their hearts and in their lives, and that we can be joyful in spite of what's going on, in spite of the crazy, crazy world in which we live, because we know we have the assurance, we have the presence of God, we have God in us and working through us and all that goes like that there, and that brings joy into our hearts and lives. Amen. God wants us to be filled, dare I say it, with overflowing, abundant joy. And it comes from spending time with. When we were in Pontypridd, I took a crowd of our guys away over to a little place called Pumsant. And it was quite a lot of years ago. But some of these guys, one of them was military, a number of them were real hard, hard men. No disrespect to any Welsh folk here today, okay? But they were hard Welsh men. And we took them away for the weekend, and God started to break through. And some of these guys had never smiled in their life. They were tough. And the next thing, God was just blowing our minds away. Some of these guys, I just stood back and watched as God broke them, and these guys, and their laughters were infectious. They'd hardly ever laugh, and their laughter was infectious. It was amazing. And I actually had families of these people in Pontypridd who met Flora and I walking through the town saying, "Listen, do you know what you did with my dad? Can you take my mother away as well? Do the same to her as you've done to my dad. Is fabulous. We have never had such a lovely family relationship because God had suddenly poured out his overwhelming joy in their hearts. And these guys, and they had just totally transformed by being the presence of God. Hallelujah. And they were overflowing with the joy of the Lord. And it was just amazing to see it. God wants us to be filled to overflowing. And when you see prayers fulfilled, when you see answers to prayer, when you remember those things, it starts to build you up in your confidence and your assurance, and you have joy in your heart because you've seen God do things and you've been there. Sometimes as a Christian, we find it hard in difficult situations. Well, let me just say as I quickly come to my last couple of points, God has also given us the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. Never forget that. Never forget that. He is there to comfort us, to strengthen us, to empower us, to lead us into everything that God has for us. He's there to help us to pray. And at sometimes he'll even intercede on our behalf when we can't find the words ourselves. And so perhaps at times we need to ask just the Holy Spirit to come and take us through those situations and ask us and help us to ask Father for what he wants. Sometimes you rush into Father's presence, pour out a list of requests, and that's not a bad thing, and then say thank you and run out. Well, that's not really ideal, is it? Because you haven't heard what Father's got to say about the situation. And so we need to perhaps put those things before Father and then just sit in his presence. As we've rang that song this morning, just to sit in his presence. Shut the world out. I love it when I get challenged like this because I go in there, we have a conservatory at the back, and I just go in there and I shut the doors and I just sit in God's presence and just wait on God and asking God, what do you want? I need to do it more often, I got to confess. Quieten my mind and say, God, what do you want to say? What's your heartbeat? Learning to listen as well as hearing what God's saying. Finally, can I suggest, and I got to be honest, I'm not great at this, write down what you've prayed for. And when you get an answer, write down the answer. That will encourage you. And dare I say, it'll give you more impetus to ask for more things. Write down, as Joel said last week, what the Holy Spirit's saying to you. And then you can bring it the following week because you've got it written out. You've not forgotten it, because you can forget a lot of things inside a week. Well, you can forget a lot of things inside a few minutes when you get to my age. Write it down and then bring it. Ask God, who is it for? Is it for the whole church? Is it for an individual? Or is it just for me as an individual? God never gives snakes or stones to his children. We heard that earlier on. And perhaps those unanswered prayers are the stones and rocks that might have brought us hurt, and that's why God hasn't answered them. Because we do ask sometimes for some things that will not do as much good. And God says, no, thank you. Not going to answer that. Or perhaps our niece back in Belfast, our Donna, when she was a kid, when she asked her mum and dad for something, Bert would say, well, not just yet. And Donna took that as an answer, said, yes, it'll come. Because she knew eventually down the road, Father would give in when the right time was right. And it's the same with God. Sometimes those unanswered prayers are just not right yet. Or it might be, I've got a better plan and a better purpose for your life. So as I finish, ask, seek, knock continually, and let God's kingdom advance in our lives, our families, our church, our communities, and in the world in which we live. Let's just pray. Said a lot, but just take a few moments and just think about what God might have said into your heart and into your life and into your circumstances. Because God's gift to us is this medium of prayer. Powerful. We worship you, Lord. Chorus is right. His name is power. His name is healing. His name is life. Speak it into your situation this morning. And if there's anybody here of this morning of thinking of giving up on God, I tell you, don't. Because he has not given up on you yet. Ask him. Seek him. Knock the door. And he'll open it to you. Father, this morning I just want to speak the name of Jesus over this town of Llanelli, over this land of Wales that once knew such a moving of your Holy Spirit. Oh God, that the buildings were filled with men and women and people, young people who were totally transformed by your love and your grace. Prayer changed what was happening in Wales at that time. And Father, I pray this morning, and I'm sure we're all praying, that Lord, again, you might move upon this land of Wales. Move upon it in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would see a revival again in this land, that we would see buildings that have been taken over for so many other things transformed back into what they were meant for initially. Places of worship, of service to you. We speak the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus over this land, over our lives, over our families, over the people that we work with on a daily basis, over our community. We speak the name of Jesus. Oh God, fill us with your love. Fill us with your joy. Fill us with your knowledge. Fill us with your wisdom. Fill us with your power. Oh God, that this land will recognize who it is. Because Lord, we can't do it. It's only by your grace. It's only something you can do. And therefore we ask, oh God, this morning. We ask, we ask, we ask. We seek, we seek, we seek. We knock, we knock, we knock. And we ask, oh God, that there will be that breakthrough, that follow through in this land. And that glory will again be to the name of Jesus.